The Lord's Prayer has seven petitions. God wants us to be with Him, not only on earth, but also in heaven. We trust that He will provide for our needs. As His beloved children, we want to glorify His holy name. We want God to govern our lives so that His will is done on earth as it is in heaven. And this is the context in which we ask for anything, including the forgiveness of our sins. In the gospel reading, our Lord teaches that we must wholeheartedly forgive those who have offended us. Peter thought that he was being generous when he asked Jesus whether he could limit forgiving a person to seven times. According to the book of Genesis, God created the world in 7 days. So seven times seemed to be a perfect number for Peter. However, God the Father created the world through Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord Jesus teaches that loving actions can never be calculated. We are to forgive another person each time. To illustrate his point, Jesus offers a parable about two servants. The first servant had owed an enormous debt to his king that was impossible to pay back. Scripture scholars have opined about how large the amount was. It's not important in this sense. Jesus said it was impossible for him to pay back. And this led to a devastating future for him and his family. In those days, in reality, people would be put into debt slavery until they had paid off the debt. But in Jesus' parable, the first servant pleads for mercy from the king. The servant fell down, did the king homage and said, "Be patient with me and I will pay you back in full." Now remember that Jesus had said that the servant had no way of paying it back. And the king knew that. And yet he said, "Be patient with me and I'll pay you back in full." But the king was moved with compassion and gave that first servant more than the servant had asked. The king forgave him of his entire debt. There was nothing that the first servant had to pay back. But unfortunately, the first servant had a short memory. He refused to extend mercy towards his fellow servant who had owed him a mere fraction compared to what he had owed the king. That first servant had been delivered from a devastating situation of debt slavery, and now he had put himself on a dangerous path that would affect his destiny. How many of us want our prayers answered? Can I see a show of hands? I want my prayer answered, right? When I pray to God, I want God's will to be done, but I, you know, want my prayer answered. Well, in the Lord's Prayer, in the fifth petition, we ask God to forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Another translation is, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And we want our prayers to be answered. Lord, forgive me in the same manner that I forgive others. We want our prayers answered, but that's a dangerous prayer to pray if we are not willing to forgive others. Of course, this is a challenging lesson for all of us. But we cannot enjoy God's overwhelming generosity and then not be an instrument of his mercy in the lives of others. When we hear that we need to forgive others from the heart, at the core of our being, we cannot declare impossible what God makes possible through the gift of himself. Our ability to be able to forgive others begins with understanding that God has forgiven us. When we're tempted to say, well, they don't deserve to be forgiven. Well, we did not deserve to be forgiven by God. Are we going to say the Lord is kind and merciful, slow to anger and rich in compassion? Except that person who offended me. The Lord should be wrathful to that person. Of course, I deserve the Lord to be rich in compassion, but not that person who offended me. No, it doesn't work that way. And we could decide not to say that fifth petition in the Lord's Prayer, but we are still accountable to the teaching of the Lord. And so we need to appreciate that God has forgiven us a debt we could not hope to repay. When we come to the sacrament of penance and reconciliation, we name our sins. We named how we have offended God. And we ask God to forgive us. And in that tangible encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ through the ministry of the church, we receive pardon and peace. But we cannot then turn around when someone wants pardon from us and to say, you don't deserve it. This generosity from God is not a license to persist in wrongdoing. God does not forgive us to excuse our sins. And the devil can even use the sacrament of penance and reconciliation to tempt us and to say, go ahead and sin, you can go to the sacrament tomorrow. But we need to then say to ourselves and to the devil, tomorrow is not promised. And all I have to do today is to do the will of the Lord. God forgives us of our sins to help us to change our minds about it. We know that there is something better for us to experience that is consistent with our dignity as people created in God's image and likeness. And this includes being free from the burden of becoming an unforgiving person. For Jesus says, if we want to continue to cling to the burden of being an unforgiving person, it will last for eternity. Jesus continues his story by speaking about the king's anger, that the first servant did not extend the same mercy towards the second servant that he had received from the king. And the king told the first servant, I forgave you your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant and I had pity on you? Then in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. Until he should pay back the whole debt. But remember, at the beginning of the parable, Jesus said he had no way of paying it back. So the implication was that the imprisonment was going to be forever. And then Jesus concludes the parable by saying, so will my heavenly Father do to you, unless each of you forgives your brother and sister from the heart. Now, I have dealt with offenses. I've had people who have betrayed me. It took a while to deal with it. But no one is worth keeping me out of heaven. No one. No situation is worth keeping me out of heaven. And if we continue to hold on to resentment, we block our blessings from God here on earth. In the sense that God is blessing us, but we don't recognize it because we're focused on the resentment. And we're focused on turning around and looking back at the past instead of looking forward to the opportunities God has laid before us. We're not supposed to feel good every time we think about the offense. Some people think, well, every time the offense comes, I thought I forgave that person, but I felt bad. We are not required to feel good about what happened. But what we can say at that time is, thank you, God. This thing did not destroy me. It made me a stronger person, and I thank you. That is better than ruminating about resentment. Think about how God helped you to overcome that offense. Think about that. Now, in the best of circumstances, forgiveness can lead to reconciliation between two persons. The offender admits their wrongdoing, and the one who had been offended accepts their request for pardon and gives them a chance to change their behavior. But let's understand what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not an invitation for the person to continue to demean our dignity and to trample on it. It's not permission to continue to engage in destructive behavior. It's not saying that what had happened was really not important. It was. It still is. But it is a decision not to continue to hold on to it and not to allow it to define our lives. There are lessons to learn, but the reason why the Lord gives us the lessons is to move forward with our lives. Now, there can be situations in which we have to forgive and there is no reconciliation, such as when the offender does not acknowledge that they have done something wrong. We can legitimately take a step back from that person. Just as I said last week in the homily regarding conflicts, we can pray that God's will is done in that person's life. You remember Jesus' teaching earlier that just like God, he rains his blessings on the just and the unjust. And as children of our Heavenly Father, we want what's good in the life of even those who offend us. And yes, that includes conversion, just as we are undergoing conversion. But the decision to continue to focus on it over and 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 over is not a life-giving option. It's a dangerous option, Jesus says in the gospel reading today. And that's a challenge for me, and it's a challenge for you. But it's also a freeing opportunity. Who wants to be dragged down by the burden of unforgiveness and the burden of resentment? Who wants to do that? Particularly if the person who did not acknowledge the offense has long since forgotten who we are And yet we do remember who they are, and we remember it over and over and over and over again. Who knows? Maybe the person after a while wants to ask for forgiveness, but time had passed and they're really afraid to ask us for forgiveness now, so they don't come. But still, we're just resentful over and over and over again, and God wants to present blessings for us in front of us, but we're still looking back at what happened. Again, what happened was important, what happened wounded us. But the Lord does not want us to be in a standstill about it. Learn the lesson from it and move on. And reconciliation does not mean that the person is going to be our best friend, or that the family member will be one of the closest in our family. Or that, for instance, if someone, you know, stole my wallet and they brought it back and said, I'm sorry, it doesn't mean I'm going to leave the wallet around that person in the future. It doesn't mean I didn't forgive them. It means I'm being prudent. I don't want to, you know, put them in the near occasion of sin. So be clear about what forgiveness is all about. But remember that the capacity to be able to forgive others begins with the great capacity of our God to forgive us. Again, that's why the crucifix is in here. The crucifix is here. We know that Jesus has risen from the dead. The crucifixion would be meaningless if he had not risen from the dead. But the crucifixion reminds us the depths of the love that the Lord Jesus Christ, the King, has for us. And through his death and resurrection, he has forgiven us a debt we could never hope to repay. And so how could we, as his followers, then turn around to someone and say, well, you don't really deserve it. Jesus asks us to embrace the freedom of forgiveness, not only for ourselves, but also when we extend that to others. And God makes it possible with the gift of himself. Jesus bore the wounds of rejection in his body, inflicted in his body by our sins. And yet, even though he had been betrayed by Judas and betrayed by Peter and betrayed by many of the apostles who fled after he took up his cross on the night after his resurrection, he shows his glorified body with the wounds in his body, saying that that which sought to destroy me could not defeat me. Peace be with you. He invites those who had ran away to be reconciled to himself. God never holds on to a desire for revenge. God holds out for the possibility of reconciliation through the gift of himself. But we have to receive that gift into our lives and make the decision. You could come and meet with me for 5 hours in the parish office. I could go to my spiritual director and talk about for 5 hours how I've been offended. But no one's going to make you and no one's going to make me choose to say, with God's help, with the act of my will, I choose to forgive this person and to move on with my life. I don't want to bear the burden of unforgiveness, not only because I can't take it to heaven, I don't want to live with it here on earth.